But that's not even where we're stopping. Now, he now said that on Judgment Day, who is talking? Who knows most about Judgment Day? Jesus. I don't know as much as Jesus. Jesus knows. He said on Judgment Day, many will come to me and say, what? Lord. What did they do? They prophesy. They cast out demons. And they do what? They did many miracles. Question I'm asking is this, because I was asking yesterday when I was meditating on these verses, like, Lord, I called him Lord. Why is it possible that people will? I understand that they could call you Lord and not mean it, but how is it possible that someone will prophesy? No means to prophesy. They are speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and people are getting blessed. Please understand me. If someone is truly prophesying, people are getting blessed. Anytime he's just speaking and nobody's getting blessed, I don't consider it to be true prophesying. Anytime you're truly prophesying, somebody is being encouraged or strengthened or, you know, instructed or edified. So they did it. And they did it in his name. Now, they cast out demons. Have you heard of the story of the seven sons of Sceva? It's in the book of Acts. They were, exorcists. Yeah? They were not really believers, but they were trying to follow Paul's pattern to cast out this demon. And what happened? What happened to them? Anybody remember?
They were beat by the demon.
Their clothes were torn apart. One man with a demon finished seven men. Amen? But these ones in Matthew 7, they actually succeeded in casting out these demons. Didn't get it? Like, they can't be lying to Jesus. He said, we cast demons out in your name. Then what else? And we did many miracles. We organized a praise party, and half of business took him. I'm trying to put it in your language that you understand what I'm trying to say. We had a picnic. And all the people in Shabbos in Jobville came. And we did it in the name of the Lord. We put out a big banner. Jesus is Lord. And they were all happy. It was a successful event. We had an anniversary celebration. It was golden. The best music, the best everything. Ah, Lord. You know, I was in the workers' meeting. You know. We did big crusade. We actually went on a mission trip to Kenya. Yeah. We did this in your name. And then, in fact, some of them will say, we started a church in your name. And he now says to them, what? Sorry, I don't know you. The question I was asking my Lord yesterday is that, why? Why? So help me. How can somebody prophesy under the anointing? People got blessed. Somebody did miracles. Like the blinders were open. Somebody did big programs in church. They had a mega church. Mega. Like when I say mega. There's a story like that. In New York. Where this mega church was meeting. They were meeting in the light club. There are thousands. People will be queuing. There are many services. But today now they've crumbled. But when they were raining, the pastor could say anything on TV. Because when you're a pastor and you have thousands at the end of your church, you feel very powerful. And the press will come to you. He said whatever he liked. So question is, what is the problem? How can someone do all that and then Jesus says, I don't know you? I know the answer, of course, because I asked the Lord and he told me, but anybody tell me. How can you do so many big things in the name of the Lord? Then on judgment day, I don't know you. I mean, like, I don't get it. Well, I do. thank you for all your hands. Yes. Now, I'll give you first, just to give you the honor. And I come back.
Okay. I think, first off, God will not want his name put to shame. So when the miracles, he will still let those miracles, you know, happen and everything. Then I think with the actual men of God involved, I think at some point, maybe initially, they were on the right path, but they got intoxicated with the power, not realizing that it was actually the grace of God upon their lives, and veered off, whether knowingly or unknowingly. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you for that. Good start. Yes.
They don't have love.
Yes, I take it. Good answer. Yes, more. No, you have not eaten my gold.
They had sin in their hearts. See? Sin.
Good answer. Good answer. And finally,
they probably lost faith and the focus in the end.
They lost focus. I say focus. Because in today's world, if somebody is saying Lord, Lord, and doing miracles, who will say they lost faith? People chase miracles, yeah. They lost focus. They lost. Mama.
Maybe they somehow got into self and partnered with the devil. And
yes.
That way.
Yes. And I would still say they lost focus. Amen. So I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why? The answers are correct. So Lord, the Holy Spirit is very wonderful. And I was just like, continue reading. He said, the answer is there. And all these things you said are correct. So I went back and continued reading. It was like, I asked too early. And then, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Why? Practice knowledge. Another one says, they break God's law. And if you look at King James, the considered one, anybody check King James for me? I would like to catch the phrase. What were they doing? Yes. Matthew 7. And right now we're looking at verse 23. King James Version. What was the reason God Jesus gave? They what? What did they do? No, the full phrase. They walk. What did they do? They walk iniquity. Or they practice lawlessness. Or they break God's laws. Let me try to explain it to you. So this is what I'm trying to establish. It is possible to be popular, moving in the power of God, or in the, sometimes it's not just only spiritual gifts, also natural talent. Like many musicians out there, Christian musicians, but what you are following is their talent. They may not have spiritual content. You've had musicians where, you know, people are following them, but news came out of scandals that were going underground. So, your talent can be celebrated. Your gift can be celebrated. But that's not the basis of Jesus' examination or assessment. I'm changing the word. Yeah? Not just the judgment, but it will assess you. It's not assessing you based on your talent. Because talent was a gift. You were given. Amen? Someone said, he's a very good footballer. Many of them just brought it from heaven. Yeah? Like, why should Ronaldo be better than who? Well, maybe I should use Ronaldo. He's older now, yeah? Who is the oldest talent? Who is the oldest talent in Premier League today? Sorry? Huh? Mbappe, is that the one from French? French, yeah, I know him. Why should he be better than lesser talent? Sorry? Marcus Rashford. Why? Oh, yeah, to train, but it's more than training. It's talent. Your talent is a gift. Amen? If you are able to work miracles, it's not by your power. Is what? It's a gift. So that's not the basis of your judgment. The basis of your judgment is your faithfulness to God's word. So they were doing it. It's not that they didn't do it. But Jesus is saying that, you know what? That's not the basis of my relationship with you. The basis of my relationship with you is your obedience to my word. He said, it's he that does the will of the Father. And Another thing that caught me yesterday was that actually you're saying that the problem is not the good things they did. The problem is not the good things they did. It's okay to prophesy in his name and work miracles. And what else? And cast out demons and do a praise party or a night vigil. It's okay. But it is not compatible with walking iniquity, practicing lawlessness, breaking God's word. Amen. Everything in life operates by law. For example, your body. There are laws in your body. If you break them, you'll be sick or unhealthy or even worse. There are laws. There are laws that make life cannot work without laws. I'm just talking about divine principles. Then take it to government. A country cannot work without laws. Yeah? You know you're under grace. But don't break the traffic limit. Don't go at 100 miles per hour. Not just because somebody will catch you. It's not just because someone will catch you. It's because you could seriously hurt yourself or somebody else. That's the purpose of that law. And sometimes it can be irredeemable. I mean, someone who is going at 100 miles per hour and they crash, they could die, they could kill people. This is not about whether the police caught you or not. The law is there to protect you. Amen? So, you see, everything that God ever told you to do was for your best interest. You know, like I always say, I said, your car manufacturer is not God. But to your car manufacturer told you that car, what should you put inside? What type of fuel should you put inside that car? According to your car manufacturer. Oh. I know you're planning for a better car, and you will have a better car in Jesus' name. But for now, what type?
Petrol.
Amen. It's law. If you put diesel or kerosene. Now, I know that it's a stark reference, but I'm looking for a not so clear reference. There are some machines that you could put adulterated fuel. When I was growing up in Nigeria, there's something called adulterated fuel. So you have the fuel, but people mix it in a way so that they can make money. They increase the volume. Yeah? Sell it for you at the same price. They make more money. But when this adulterated fuel enters your car, it will move. It will move. It will function for a while. Then it will what? It will lock the engine. No, I would love. You see, if you took on diesel to your petrol car, for example, and it knocked immediately, it's good because you already see that this is not good. You won't try it next time. But the adulterated one is the more dangerous one because it will keep you moving. You say, "I'm okay. I don't really need God. I have a brain. I work hard." And just with a bit of luck. But somewhere down halfway, you've broken the law, but you're still getting going. So you're deceiving yourself. But somewhere down the line, you know, because that law or the scripture cannot be broken. Amen? Let me ask you a question. So to keep you engaged. So Jesus said, it is the person that does the will of the Father. This is very specific. He said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, we enter the kingdom of heaven. Please, what does it mean of that? Anybody? When Jesus says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, we enter the kingdom of heaven. Can you tell me in today's language? What does that mean? Like, he wants to say it in a normal, everyday UK, simple English. Not everyone says to me, Lord, Lord, we enter the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean?
Not every believer will enter the kingdom of heaven.
Yes. What's even the kingdom of heaven? Yes. Try.
Not everyone that calls his name is qualified to enter the kingdom. Yeah. So.
Another, any simpler way? Not every believer will make it. Jesus talking. This is the word of God. I don't like to go to the word of God and then just rationalize it and just confuse you. See, that's Old Testament. Jesus is talking. He said, not everyone who calls me Lord will enter heaven. What does that mean? It's not everybody who comes to church that will enter heaven. Is that a good meaning? Yeah? But he who does what? The will of the Father. So that means that it's most important for me as a believer. I can't just stop there. I'm born again. I'm okay. Yeah? I go to church most times and I help the pastor. He said, Lord, I was helping the pastor. He said, I don't know you. Because what's important is to do the will of the Father. So the question I need to ask myself now is, what is the will of God? So there are many answers. So let me say this. How can I define? It's the definition we're looking for. We don't need specifics, just definition. If I say the will of God, how can you define it? What does it mean to say this is the will of God? Or, you know, when I say this is the will of God, define it. I have many answers. There's a try. Simple answers. If I say something is my will, what does that mean?
I think for me it's knowing the heart of God.
Knowing the heart of God, yes. More. I have like 10 answers. Just simple. Like I say, this is my will. What does it mean? I'm coming to you if you're a youth. Get ready.
Abiding in his word.
Abiding in his word. Yes, I like it. More? I say, this is my will. What does it mean? I'm looking for the simplest answer. Maybe I can give you a prize for the simplest answer. I say, this is my will. This is my will. What does that mean?
Doing what God wants.
Doing what? Put your hands together for Sharon. There are many good answers, but that to me is the simplest and best answer. Doing what God wants. Let me just pause there. I'm coming to you. I want you to understand that God is not a dummy. And God is not your dog. The reason why people keep dogs is because those dogs are loyal to them. When those dogs bite them, they'll kick them away. Now, I don't eat animals. But the reason I'm not keeping a dog is that I have so many human beings to take care of. Until I finish, I don't have time. Because they are not eternal. Hello? Dogs are not what? Eternal. Amen? When the heaven and earth will be destroyed, they will all be cleared. God will produce a new set. Amen? But human beings are what? Are eternal. I'd rather invest into human beings. Without eating animals. I love them. It's just that we're living in dangerous times. Amen? Yes? What's the will of God? What God wants? Oh, yeah. Sorry. Remind you. God is not a dummy. He has things he wants. Hello? He's not a Father Christmas. He has things he wants. Get it? God asks what he wants from you. Say with me. Say, God has something that he wants from me. Amen. Yes. What is the will of God? Define it your own way.
Achieving God's destiny.
Yes. God, there's a destiny. Well, another way of saying that, there's a plan. So the way I see it is this. Look around. Can you see all the beautiful and handsome faces? Check anybody that's sleeping, if there's anyone sleeping. Wake them up if they are sleeping. Tell them they look handsome. That will encourage them. As we are all different, we are all unique. There is a unique plan for your life. There's a general plan that we have in common. But there's also what? A unique plan. That if they took you away, it's something we'll be missing. You are that special. You are that unique. And God has a plan for your life. And that is your destiny. But your destiny may not be fulfilled. Because for your destiny to be fulfilled, though God has planned, you must cooperate. Hello? If you don't cooperate, it can't be fulfilled. God needs you to fulfill your destiny. Amen? Yes. More definitions. What is the will of God?
Following God's instructions.
Yes. Yes. To follow God's instruction.
So
the will of God, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Go on, please.
Well, the will of God. I see this, that a will, just like we normally have wills, is God's statement and commandment in His word, which is the Bible. So the will of God is what is stated like a commandment or way of life. So He wants us to follow that. So if we deviate from that, then we are not following what God has asked us to do. So the Bible is, I just believe, this is my will, this is what I've inherited for you, kind of. I want you to follow it. If you deviate, then you are not doing my will.
You see, the answer Sharon gave is the simplest answer, what God wants. But the most spiritual answer, or the deepest, is the will of God is the word of God. The will of God is what? Is the word of God. The word of God is a statement of His will. And it is comprehensive. Amen? It's what? It's comprehensive. Everything you need for life and godliness is in the word of God. Every problem you are facing in life, the solution is in the word of God. I've never found a problem. It's just that sometimes we don't see it. Amen? We don't see it. There is no problem that you are facing that the word of God, the Bible, does not have a solution for. Say with me, say there's no problem that life can present that the word of God does not have a solution for. Let me tell you why. Because He's Alpha and what? The beginning and the end. The first and the last. Nothing can take God by surprise. So, but He's just seen as resigned. Did He take God by surprise? Yes.
It's a follow-up question. So if you don't achieve your destiny, all that God wants you to achieve, will you not go to heaven?
Good question. Your destiny is a plan. Yeah? You may score 80%. That's still a pass. It's just that you may not get the best prize. You may score 70%. Stay pass. 60? Stay pass. 50? Stay pass. Depending on the university or school you're going to, what's the minimum mark for pass? Let me ask. Our trainee.
40, son.
40. So, you scored 41. There are many believers who will score 41. You know some of them if you are thinking. You know, 41, stay pass. 40. 40 is what? It's still a pass. You'll be least. When you score 40 and you enter heaven with 40, you'll be least in the kingdom. Forever. You can't change your status. See, in life, in this world, you can change your status. You can repent. You can work harder. When you've crossed over, whatever you entered with is your final mark forever. You can't change it ever. It's your status. Amen? 39. Let me ask the young lady there. Someone at 39 and the pass mark is 40. Did they pass or fail?
Fail.
Now, if you are still alive, you can walk, you can resit. You can repent. You can start going the right way. And maybe you will recover from 39 and score 69. But once somebody has crossed over, it is appointed to men to die once. And after that, you can't change it. You can't change it. It's a law. So when you say thank God that I'm alive. Hallelujah. Yes.
So talking about pastors who have, you know, veered off the pathway of God, doing their own things. So for example, if they've got like a member who has had such experiences not once, twice or thrice,
and then they decided to stop going to any church, but just fellowship. But, you know, they tried to do their best. So those kind of people, this category, do you think they will still make it to heaven?
Amen. You see, the problem is that you cannot break the word of God. The Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. When a believer decides that they've been offended in church and they're not going to church anymore, what are they doing? They are breaking the word of God. It can be rationalized, but you can't break this word. It's there. It is written in black and white. What the Bible tell you about when you are offended? What are you to do? What are you to do when you are offended? Sorry? That's Pastor Ben's quote. Yeah, they are offended with the church. Yes. Let me explain. Until Jesus comes, there will be fake church and there will be true church. It will never happen before Jesus comes that there is no true church. The first thing that person has to repent from is their pride. They are proud. You see, the church is the body of Christ. When you reject the church or you are offended with the church, you are offended with Jesus. And you are disconnected from the blessing. So there's going to be a true church. There must be.
I believe that even if they've attended several fake churches and they talk to God, they really want to fellowship with other Christians, they tell God, I need a church. Any way, anyhow, it will happen. That is if they want to go.
I don't see when somebody says you're offended with the church. I mean, it's a case of if I'm offended by what a minister or somebody says, you can approach the first thing. I don't know, maybe this is biblical, but the normal thing to do is to approach the person. Sorry, this and this, you know. Then you discuss. Based on that, that's the first thing I think. You discuss, and it might not even be that that person meant that for you or things like that. So the first thing to do, instead of to hold malice or keep something, I mean, try and dialogue with that person and let it go. You know?
That's Amen. What I see. Yeah, thank you very much. And of course, that everything is still synchronizing. Nothing is opposing. See, thank you very much for that, because I will just expand on it. If we're going to follow offenses, nobody should be here in today. Because I'm sure that as pastor, there must be a time I said something you didn't like. I'm looking at everybody's face. I'm sure that I must have, in 10 years, you understand? I remember that there are people here that we've had parts together. That's why when someone said like, you are being kind to somebody and not being kind to you. I said, you don't know any history. You know, if you are willing to resolve a matter, there will be a way. There will be a way if there's love. There will be a way. Offense can happen. And sometimes when offense happens, it may be deliberate, it may not be deliberate, it may be a misunderstanding. People don't, you have a view, somebody has a view, but if you are willing, what the Bible says that if your brother offends you, go to them. Go to them and tell them your fault. If you are afraid of them, find somebody that will go with you. Then aim to resolve. Don't close your mind. And then again, don't allow the offense to build up so much that you have snapped. When the offense is already, young, when it's not yet mature, that's the moment you start making effort to resolve. Say, Pastor, I don't like the way you touch my arm. It's possible. So the man knows that sister does not. doesn't want it. He's like, I'm trying to give one of my sons a hug. He may not want it. If you push it, he will be angry. And there's no point to say, oh, but hug is normal. You need hug to survive. No, it offends him. But again, if he doesn't say it, you know, the person may not know. So we try. But I want to acknowledge that it is possible that you've tried everything and it's not resolvable. Then, if that's the case, there's another teacher somewhere. Amen? There's what? There's another teacher somewhere. I want to understand this church business. You did it with, it's not human idea. Jesus said, I will build my church. And the gates of, so it's Jesus that started the church. You cannot be bigger than Jesus. It's rebellion to say, I'm going to be worshiping God at all. It's a rebellion. You are rebelling against Jesus. And it will affect you. And you can even affect people around you. Praise the Lord. So, whatever you want to do, don't fight the church. Even when the church is not perfect, Jesus is still there. You know, that's what you learn. That Jesus is still there. Respect Jesus in that church. Amen? Yes, Yavik. Okay.
It just came to my heart. I thought I'll share it. You know, just staying in the same light of saying there's always a truth just somewhere. The Bible has said in many, one of the many circumstances and examples, one of them would be Elijah when he thought he was the only prophet and every other prophet had either converted to Baal or they had been killed. I know God has opened his eyes. So there is always a remnant. And I just want to say that again for the young people here. You might think, well, maybe I'm the only person around that maybe is coming to church, is a believer, is born again. There's always, no matter where you go to, no matter what the culture is, you know, wherever you are, there's always a remnant that God keeps apart. So there are other people that in your situation, you might think, oh, the other people around me or my friends or the people in school are not Christians, they don't call upon the name of Lord. No, there will always be someone. They might not be coming home and showing themselves, you know, but God can open your eyes as open the eyes of Elijah.
Amen. And the Bible says that when you seek, you will find. Amen. If your heart is right and you really want to worship God, you must find other people like you. Amen. You can never be the only person in the world who knows how to worship God. Amen. In fact, if you think you're the only one, you have a problem. There must be people around you. And if you are so super spiritual, you must be able to raise others. Amen. You won't sit at home on the Sunday watching TV saying that you're having your fellowship. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's move on. There's so much to say, but I only stop. It will continue. So let me just give you know, some summary. So What's the will of God? What God wants? I love that answer. It's just so simple. You know, and what God wants has to be what pleases God, what honors God, what glorifies God, what advances God's kingdom, what promotes God's righteousness, what aligns with the word of God. This is the will of God. Always. Amen? We're going to specific, but that's just general definition. Now, before we move on, let's go back to Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27. Then I'll ask you the next question. Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27. I hope you're enjoying this cuisine. Amen? What pleases God is in quality. You know, anybody likes going to a restaurant? Yes, I need to take you more. God will make a way. Anybody likes going to a restaurant? Yeah. Okay. Oh, I didn't know that. I'm just knowing that now. So the question is, are all restaurants the same? After all, they all serve food. So imagine a restaurant serves food. Does that make it okay? I'm just saying, are all believers the same? Are all churches the same? That's the question. But I'm using a natural example. Are all restaurants the same?
No.
in terms of the, you're hungry. Is a restaurant, what's the job of a restaurant?
To provide food.
Yeah, so they give you food. Does that make all restaurants the same or okay? So what differentiates between restaurants?
The quality of the food, the ambience.
Are there restaurants you will not want to go back to?
Yes.
Why?
Because the food was poor.
Any other thing apart from food that can make you not want to go back to a restaurant? Wait. Let's go to the young lady. Come.
The service.
Okay, what type of poor service will you get in a restaurant and say, I'm not going back? Just one. Just think of any other. Give any specific or what they could have done.
Take too long to give you your food.
Hello? I went for a wedding. It was like punishment. I would have rather just stayed at home and ate pancake. They use the food to punish us. See, now if you want the food side, better quickly cooperate with all the songs and dances. Anybody planning to be a wedding planner or event planner here? Hello? Anybody, event planner, wedding planner, anyone? Let me tell you one principle, yeah? You're planning events. Make sure that the food, yeah, is ready on time. Don't think that people will go. If they are happy, they will stay. Don't use food to punish people when you when they come all the way for your event. The food, if I eat positive, the food. Amen. When it takes too long for the food to be served, you want to go back. Even if they are the best quality food. Yes, any other reason? Any other reason why you may not want to go back to a restaurant? Where is this? Yes, I'll just get to the young one.
Adding on to what Meredith said, when she said service, what I'm trying to say is like customer service. Yes.
So, the way they attend to you, the way they listen to your complaint, yeah, or your request or your concern, is part of the experience. Yes, final. I know time is running.
Hidden charges.
Deception. Deception. Amen. Now, I want you to understand. Let me say this, and I know there's at least one person in this room who will agree with me. I said on Friday. When you are eating food, yeah, from any source, restaurant or home or party, I will scale it in three levels. There is a food that you eat and like you love it so much. You will clear it, you want more. You want to take home. That's high quality service. That's the one that pleases God most. Now, there's food that you eat it, and it's average level. You know, it's not excellent, but you can manage. You will swallow it. Many times, the flower we are giving to God is that type of service. God will say, well, it's nice, but I will manage. God knows how to manage. But there is food you will eat. You will take the first food, and all your appetite will disappear. And it happens to God like that. There is presentation that we're giving to God in whichever way that is not acceptable. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that I'm begging you, by God's mercy. Have you ever tried to beg someone? Say, in the name of God, by God's mercy. This is what Apostle Paul is doing here. That you present your body unto God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. He said this is your acceptable form of worship. Meaning that you can be spiritual, in court, but the way you are presenting your body or the way you are using your body is not acceptable. So all your service is not acceptable. Do you see what I'm... That's mean there. That if my consecration is wrong, it can affect the quality of my service to God. No matter the spirituality inside that package. I'm not just talking about your physical presentation. I'm talking about the way you use your body. Which includes the way you use your tongue, of course. Amen? Consecration is very important to quality of service. You know, I always say, so if you cook the best meal, then you serve it in a dirty plate that was last washed 3 months ago. But the food is excellent. Freshly. Like you expensive. Please, Let me talk to somebody. Where's the mic? Sorry, who will eat it? With the other edition, remember when you realized that plate was from the dishwasher was not washed. Remember your expression. And you had your food inside. What will you do?
Won't eat it.
You won't. Who will eat it? Yeah, if you're very hungry. I mean, if you are hungry, there's some things you don't eat. Yeah. But you know what? God, your Father, also does that. That's part of how he manages with us. Hey, we just eat the top part. I'll manage that part. Praise the Lord. Let me see how we're doing with time. Okay, we still have some good time for some good words. So Matthew 7:24-27. Matthew 7:24-27. Yes, we'd like to read. Someone was not read today. Matthew 7:24-27. Yes, we'd like to do that. NKJV and New Living. One after the other. Not the same person, different people. Matthew 7:24-27. Please tell us with your version.
Okay, this is KJV. And Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it.
Amen. Now, what do you notice about this story in the two cases? What is common in the two cases? There are two scenarios. What is common to them? They both build houses, but before building, I mean, like the starting point. What was common to both? Starting point, just before the building.
Foundation.
Yeah, but starting. So go back to the story. There's something at the beginning that is common to both.
They both heard.
Yes. They what? Please, you know, follow me. These two set of people, they were both in church. And they both heard the word. They heard the word of Jesus. They heard it. But hearing is only the beginning of the journey. It's not the end of the journey. Now, when you hear the word of God, the next thing is, what are you going to do with it? Please turn to your neighbor, smile and say, what are you going to do with the word? Hallelujah. So, somebody heard that word. If you were in a mega church, they said, preach it, pastor, preach it. They went into emotional frenzy. You know emotional frenzy? Because of the word, revelation. Oh! They heard. But when they left church, they went back to their old way. Like someone would look at them in the mirror, they left the mirror and forgot exactly what they looked like, and they did nothing about it. I would say, when someone like that, they're like they're building on sand, they are religious hypocrites. And when I'm saying this, I'm not talking to one, I'm talking general. I just want to create the awareness that it is possible to be religious and not spiritual. What you want is spirituality, not religiosity. Amen. Because an unbeliever can be religious. They can know the pattern. And to be religious means that you've mastered the routine. Whatever routine. Yeah? But your heart is not there. But this other person heard it and begin to put it into practice. Let me ask you a question. Why is it that two people can hear the same thing? One will put it into practice and one will not. What's the problem? There's a problem. If there's no problem, they should both put it into practice. Yes.
So I think for one, it's entered their heart. So the person that puts into practice is in them already. So it transforms them. It changes the way they act. But the other person, it's just head in their head. It's not in their heart.
You hit. There are many reasons, but you hit one of the reasons. Parable of the sower. One understood it. One did not. They heard it, but it didn't enter their heart. You know, I know what the Bible says. Bible says when you hear the word of God like that, Satan comes. Satan is going to and fro. He will come because it didn't enter your heart. He will steal it away. Yes, another reason. There are many reasons. Someone heard the word. Two people heard the word of God. They both were happy. They were happy, but one particular one did not. Why?
I think there's an element of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're both Christians, they heard it, and say lying, for example, you know, you could lie as a Christian, and someone says, the one person says, I believe I'm not a liar, I have faith that I will not lie, and the person just heard it and like, okay, well, I always lie, you know, we are both Christians. So I think faith, you know, is a determinant.
Thank you. Faith is most important, although I will map both things. So basically, if you hear the word of God, you don't understand it, you can't have faith. You can't believe what you don't understand. What has not entered your heart, you can't believe. So I want you to know that you can be in church, hear the word of God, and yet it has not entered your heart. Because it has not commanded your attention. Maybe you are busy on WhatsApp or TikTok or thinking about something that happened 3 days ago. But that word came, you missed it. You can't have faith. The hearing must be hearing that enters your heart. Amen? And by the way, while we're just there, let me see how I'm doing time. I woke up one morning just to encourage you. For almost 12 years, this has never happened to me. I woke up, normally I would set my alarm. It was a school day. And I woke up, it was 1:01. My wife was on the night shift. When I got up, I was looking for Ryan, my son. He also woke up late. So he was also coming to look for me. So why did you wake me up? I said, why did you wake me up? So that's not where I'm going to. Now, I have to call the school and say, we're going to be late. And this is what happened. And I'm about to call. I'm thinking, I'm a school governor. And how embarrassing for me to call that school and say, you know what? I woke up late. And my son woke up late. But I said, I can't lie. You just have to settle it in your heart. I can't lie. You see, you will never be able to do that if you are proud. You need humility to do the will of God. You can't do the will of God if you don't humble yourself. You can't. I say you can't. In order to do the will of God, you need to humble yourself. So when you humble yourself, see, when someone is down, there's no fear to fall. I called the lady and said, you know what? It has never happened. I woke up late. The lady is a kind lady, the receptionist, so we sorted it. But as I was not dealing with Ryan, there was a bigger problem. I already go to this class, his class, as a class governor, yeah? This boy is going to go to school, and they're going to ask him, why are you late to school? He's going to say, well, I woke up late, and my daddy woke up. That's a big problem there. So that was even a bigger problem. But the Holy Spirit then reminded me, yeah, you had the code. Ryan, I now remember why I have to wake up late, because it shouldn't happen. I slept on time. I had a code. So when you go to school, your friends will ask you, why are you late? You say, my daddy. If I say, I woke up late. Make sure you say your own first. Then, when you finish, it's humility. You see, if he goes there and says, daddy woke up late, that's pride. Admit your own fault. Then, say your daddy woke up late. But it's because he had a code. End of story. It just becomes your help. when you first choose that you're going to do his will. But if you don't take a step of faith to do his will, you will not experience how he will come to your help. Yes.
Okay, how about where people have lied to save themselves? Where people have lied to save themselves. And it's not always having to save their lives, if you see what I mean. And okay, maybe one of them is Rahab in the Bible, where he said, she said, the spies went there, but obviously she's hidden. And just trying to remember, I have a friend that was taking her son for an exam, and I think she left a bit late, and there was then traffic. And this is an exam that they've been preparing for years, and it was just that one chance. And she got there, they had locked the gate, they weren't going to let them in. I said, oh, he's been sick in the car, that's why we came late. And for her, it was like, that's the only way I could get this boy to sit this exam. And obviously it's a wrong thing to do, but I guess at times, at the spur of the moment, people kind of succumb to pressure. And yeah,
there are times you find yourself lying spontaneously to save yourself. It's not that lie you think about. You just did it. It reflects your level of faith. No problem. They say panacea. Repent. Amen? When you finish, repent. Yeah? You can repent. But as you grow in faith, you know, so let me, like in this example you gave, you know, it takes a level of faith to say, even if he missed the exam. If it's, for example, if it's a mock exam, I mean, like, I don't mean like the main exam. Because that the threshold has risen. So even if you miss, let's say you're going for a mock exam, and there's a level of faith that even if you miss it, God will still do what he has to do. And he will still be ready. But you must have the faith. It takes a higher level of faith to say, I'm going to go there and say exactly what happened, and it will not work against me. Because basically, but again, if you don't have that faith, you can't work in it. You have to build it. Amen? And we should all be aiming to grow in faith. I think the worst thing is to remain on the same level. Now, I tell you also, when you are growing, you will know you are growing. You understand? So, but as you grow in your faith, you will go. I'm not recommending, because I don't know your level of faith. But if you have the faith, you go. You just say it. And the funniest thing is that what should work against you can even position you for the greatest blessing. But you need to have the corresponding faith. Note, by the way, I wanted to just correct something. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago when I was talking about giving. There was something, you know, that was said, I said, I didn't say. I didn't tell you to give more when there's cost of living crisis. That's not what I said. I said, as your income increases, your offering should increase. Because there are different levels of faith. I don't teach like that. Amen? When you receive your income, pay your tithe and give voluntary offerings. If your income increases, you were giving £10 before. Your income has now doubled. Don't stay on £10. You see what I mean? You will be increasing it. That's what I'm saying. It takes another level of faith. Yeah? That your expenses are increasing, your income is staying the same, and you are giving more. It takes another level of faith. It's possible, but I'm not pushing it. I hope you got it. Yeah. Okay, we need to round up because time has finished, but I need to make this point in a round up. So he said, the man that is wise, he built his house on a rock. Oh, another thing that is common. There's something else that is common, but I will just say it because of time. You see that the I need to read it. So where we're reading is Matthew 7. So you will see that in both cases, the rain descended. In both cases, the flood came. And in both cases, the wind blew on that house. That means that don't think you are special or different. Take heed. Take what? Heed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22 says, abstain from all appearances of evil. God taught me that. Don't assume that your case is different. Don't say, that defeated person won't defeat me because I'm just different. No! Abstain from what? All appearances of evil. That's wisdom. Is what? It's wisdom. I always say it's better not to enter temptation than to be fighting. Can you say when you say it's better? Wherever possible, not to enter temptation than to be fighting temptation. So if you can see ahead that this thing is going to cause me problem, what do you do? Stay away. You have saved yourself the headache and the attic. So this wise person, I would just want to show you that wisdom means, you know, you're in church today. You could be doing something else. But you came here to honor God. That's wisdom. Wisdom doesn't pay you always immediately. But it pays you in the long run. You see, the man that built that on sand, he built it faster. Because he didn't have much foundation to do. It's easier to... A foundation of sand, you just start building. A foundation of a rock, you have a lot of digging to do. So he got immediate benefit. The foolish man got immediate benefit. I want you to understand that. The foolish man or the foolish believer got immediate benefit from their patch religion and spirituality. One leg in, one leg out. They are trying to get both. But the wise man who stayed put, honoring God day and night. You understand? Let me continue and say, you know, why are you even giving your money to God? But you stay put. You are honoring God. When the rain will come, your house will stand. When the floods will come, your house will what? It will stand. You will be rock solid. You cannot be broken. Even if disaster emerges, you will recover better. Because you stayed put. That's wisdom. Wisdom is to stay put with God. Doing the right thing. When Abraham, with all his faith and with all whatever, you know one of the mistakes he made. What's the mistake of Abraham? Quickly. Last question. What's the mistake of Abraham? Ishmael. God already gave him a promise. You will have a son. You will be the father of nations. Yeah? But he's not gonna, he was supposed to stay put with God. But he tried to work it out himself with the help of his wife. Then what happened? He got Ishmael. Until today, son of the bondwoman is still contesting with the son of the free woman. So you don't want to go there. So I don't want to go there. I want to stay put with God and get a lasting blessing.